So Purim Sameach, everybody, I guess.
Yeah.
At least if you live outside of Yerushalayim, it's not really supposed to be Purim yet.
No.
No, but I'm wishing you for tomorrow. Yeah. Okay.
We need 2 days.
It's not really our Purim. I mean, that's why I don't say Alanisim. Yeah. Okay. We were. See, today's daf is daf Chofei. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But we were holding still. I think on Chavdalat Amid Beis, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that, we got almost to the end, right?
Tanya Kavosi, I think 7 lines.
Yeah. Very good. Tanya Kavosi, the Rav Chisda, 7 lines up. Chavdalat Amid Beis. Hayama Halech. So the Shiloh over here is somebody is walking along, and he comes to a Mavui Mitunaf where there's unpleasant smells and so on. Rav Chisda refused to accept. And Ad Kedekach refused to accept. He said, if Yehoshua ben Nun would come and tell me, I wouldn't accept it either. Forget about Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. That if you can put your hands over your tefillin and keep saying Kriya Shema, put your hands over your mouth or keep saying Kriya Shema, whatever the question was, and absolutely have to stop, said Rav Chisda. So Tanya Kavosi Rav Chisda, Hayam Alek Bevotim Tunafot, Lo Yikra Kriya Shema. You should not read Kriyat Shema. Even if he was in the middle of reading, yes, stop short. Posek. Okay, Bidyabad, Lo Pasak. What's Halacha? Omrib Maisha Barbaray, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Allah Vakatuv Omer, a guy like that, Gam Ani Natati Lahem Chukim Lo Tovim, Umishpatim Lo Yechyubam. So in other words, his kind of Kriyat Shema, maybe he did thinks what he thinks is a mitzvah, but it's not the kind of thing that's going to get him anywhere in life. Rav Asya Omer, Hoy Moshchei Ha'avon B'chavlei Hashav. To drag in a terrible hate using absolutely weak, cobwebby robes. What do you get out of this? What's the point? You know, you're doing a terrible thing. You're convincing yourself it's a good thing to do. No, it's saying Yichud Hashem and so on. That's mamish b'chavlei Hashem. Ela, you get some kind of pleasure out of it. Avera, that's thick ropes. But to drag in an avera like this for nothing. Ravada barava memiyachik yidvar Hashem baza ve'im pasak masicharo. Hush. Im. How about if he is pesek? So he's sensitive to surroundings. He's makbid on the kedusha Hashem. Omer of Avu, Alava Katuv Omer, about a guy like that, it says, instead of the hefech of Kidvar Hashem Bazar, we find it says, Kiloda Vareku Mechem, this is your Kihu Chayechem, so he respects the fact that the Torah is Yizchayim. Ubedavar Azet Tarichu Yamim, that's the difference between a Dvar Hashem Bazar and someone who recognizes Kihu Chayechem. Omer Avuna, Haitata Litocha Gurolo Amatana, the guy's wearing a sweater, He's uncovered down to his waist. It doesn't have much beneath his waist either, but he ties his sweater, in case it gets cold, ties his sweater around his waist, thank heavens. It's better than a gourd, you know, in the old days, he's the gourd. But he's got a sweater, so is that enough? Mutali Gold Kriyat Shmarkin. I go, yes, that's enough. Tanya Namiyasi, Artata Rito, Shalbege, Shalor, Shalsak, whatever it is, this guy has tied around his waist, mutar lekrot kriyat shema, despite the fact that the rest of him is uncovered, aval l'tfilah ad shechaseh libo. The difference is, in tfilah, a person is being aimed lifnei ha-melech, you certainly don't walk into lifnei ha-melech b'levush tzak, but if you're reading kriyat shema, then you're not talking to the melech, you're talking to Shema Yisrael. So there's no need to be dressed properly and so on. So even if you're just covered from the waist, although there's a question over here whether this is only b'di'avad, but l'chatchila a person should be dressed, as the covered of the Yichud Hashem and so on. But certainly it's not the equivalent of Amida l'chnei ha-melech. There's no stira between it and the Gemara. V'yomar Ravuna, shachach v'nichnas b'tefillin l'beit ha-kisei. How about if a guy forgot he was wearing tefillin, finds himself in the bathroom, doing what he's doing? Well, he might as well finish, you know. I mean, what are you reading anyway? Harry Potter and this? Oh, Achi Igmar. Achi Igmar, Talkatak. Surely a person shouldn't sit with his tefillin until he's finished. Achi Igmar Amud Rishon. What it means is that in the process of defecation, you should not stop in the middle. Because this is not good for your health. But once you've gotten something out of your body, you don't have to sit around waiting. Go back out, take off your tefillin, and then go back in to finish. You certainly could stop right away and get up. No, that's because of health reasons. The Tanya of Shimon Gamliel Omer, Amud HaChazer, Mevi Et Adam Lidei Hadrokan. Somebody who prevents now the exit of feces, and allows them to remain inside of his body when they're on their way out, it brings a person to an illness, which is called Drokan, which swells the belly and so on. Silon HaChazer, someone who stops urinating in the middle, is maybe at that, meaning that he forces a stop. That's maybe a Adam Lidei Yerakon, that damages the liver and can cause you to get jaundiced. Itma. Tsoal Bisaro. O Yadomu Nachat Bebet HaKise. If someone has a little bit of fecal matter on his flesh, or his hand is in a window that's in the Bet HaKise, that's Rashi's Girsa. Lemaisa, many of the Rishonim had the Girsa over here, which is Yado Ba Mibet HaKisei, meaning he hasn't washed his hands. It's not that he sees any feces on his hands or anything, but he certainly would not use those hands until he washes them for anything. He's not going to touch food or anything like that. So Mamela, those hands are not roly for Tahira and for Kedusha. So, okay, I mean, Rashi's Girsa sounds a little bit funny. I mean, there's a window, a guy has his hand in the window in the Beit HaKisei, and the rest of his other keys. They were coming to define the principle, according to Rashi. So, Rav Huna Amar, Mutar Likrot Kriyat Shema, Rav Chista Amar Asur Likrot Kriyat Shema. So the question over here is whether any element of the body that's exposed to something unclean is sufficient to prevent you from seeing Kriyat Shema, or does the cleanliness or uncleanliness issue have to do with that part of your body which is saying Kriyat Shema? Your mouth, your eyes, your brain. But I mean, the fact that, you know, something on your knee somewhere covered may be dirty is it's not involved in Kriyat Shema. So Omar Rava, my time at Ravuna, why does Ravuna hold your mouth? It's called a neshama taliyah. Kol neshama means that which the neshama is tluya in. It's the breath that you're speaking. That has to be in a mokum of kovod. But the rest of you is on the gear. Rav Chista Amar, no, asur likrot kriyat shema. My time to Rav Chista, if kol atzmotai tomarna Hashem mi chamocha. So all my entire existence calls out Hashem mi chamocha. So that includes all aspects of yourself. You can't just take your head and your words and take them out of the context of your body. Itma, Reach Rashi Yeshlo Ikar. What is the din if you're in a place which something smells and there is something that the smell is coming from that remains there? As we know, there's such a thing as a Reach that remains even though you have nothing in front of you that it's coming from. But how about that it has an Ikar? Ravuna ma marchikar ba'amot v'kore. Ravuna says, go arba'amot from that thing which smells, and at that point you can be kore, mashma, even if it still smells. Because you're only going away from the thing. So it's not the smell per se that would be the problem. Rav Chista says, no. The entire area that smells is considered to be the place that's dirty. From the place that you stop smelling, there you have to go arba'amot, mimakom shepasak hareach, and then korei kriyat shema. Tanya kafasit Rav Chista, and indeed we see that there's a brisa that says like Rav Chista that you have to go from the mokum shepasak hareach, because it says in the brisa like this: lo yikra adam kriyat shema lo keneged soat adam velo keneged soat klavim velo keneged soat chazirim velo keneged soat tarnegolim velo keneged ashpa sherechara. So any type, either excrement literally of types of animals where there's a really disgusting smell to that excrement. It doesn't include things like cow pies and so on. But this type of thing is human excrement, and so that's considered to be disgusting. So there you have to be marking from it, and for that matter from a garbage pail that has a bad smell. The iman, it's not, by the way, bad smell, meaning unpleasant smells that are usr. It's decay smells This has to be coming from decaying matter. If there's a smell of a gas that doesn't smell right, you know, because you're playing in your chemistry lab, that's not considered to be a reyach ra. We're talking about a reyach ra that comes from organic decay. If you're in a place where you're 10 tefachim higher than that, or this thing was 10 tefachim higher than you, or namuch asra tefachim, so then it's a completely different yerushos. Yoshev b'tzido v'korei kriyat shema, so then there's no problem, because you're in a different rishos. Here is a machlokas rishonim. Again, we're putting off to our mythological Friday review, which apparently doesn't happen every Friday. And we'll discuss the machlokas about this issue of the smell, per se, even though the smell is contained in a different rishos. V'korei kriyat shema, v'imla, but if it's in the same area... Sorry. Mitatechus simin yofelo. Marchik malo einav. You should go as far away as necessary. If it's in front of you, you have to get away from being able to see it. V'chein litfila. Reach rash yeshlo ikar. Marchik arbamot mimokom hareach. The correct rash was exactly what Rav Chisda said. Now, this part about being marchik malo einav makes you believe, and indeed this is the Rav Breshita, that even filthy things, remember that we have two completely different halachas that we've seen, both in the same parasha. There's two different issues there. Machanecha kadosh, we understand, means anything that is low class, filthy, disgusting, that makes a person not feel that he's in a mokum kedusha, takes his nefesh from its tahira. So that would include even things that have nothing to do with your thoughts. They're, on the contrary, it's the absolute physical that we're talking about. So therefore, fecal matter, we say, is included. Vayamachanecha kadosh. And this is clearly that's what it's referring to, because it comes in context in the Torah of yat yelecha chutz. So it says refers, cover up that which comes out of you. So it's clearly referring to bathroom issues. But then is clearly referring to nakedness and thought issues and so on. And those are two different things. The question is Velo Yera Ebecha Ervatavar connected to the Yat Yalacha Chutz? The meaning, you're not supposed to be seeing even these feces. Ah, so that's a machlokas rishonim. Here's this kumalayenot. So that is what happens, somebody, or in the case we had before, with somebody sitting next to a mechitza vasorat vachet. So it's beneath him. Maybe you still see it. So is the seeing of it also, you're standing in the room and right outside the door there's a pile of excrement. Can you daven, despite the fact that you see it? Is it different rishonim? So that, the Rashi says, no, because the lawyer Evacha includes both issues, as their vatavar, but there's certainly an Indian of Ri'ya here too. The Rush argues on that. Again, we'll Bezrat Hashem discuss this at length. It's a very, very Nagia La'alocha, especially with the way cleaning is proceeding in the Rova lately. It's seriously Nagia La'alocha, not to mention the people that have decided that the Rova is a place to grow animals. We won't talk about any of our members, of course, they're excluded. But so, it seems from here that the Brisa is supporting the contention that you have to be marking from the Reach Arbam. It's not just marking from that which is causing the Reach. Well, my Rova says, Rova, well, but don't take this Brisa too seriously. Because let Yilchakataki Amatnita, it's not really correct. Tanya, I mean, here it's saying that any type of excrement that is smelly is prohibits you to read Kriyat Shema. But it says in another Braita, Lo yikra Adam Kriyat Shema, lo keneged tzuat Adam, v'lo keneged tzuat chazirim, v'lo keneged tzuat klavim, bizman shenatam arot betochan. But the fact that you have over here a pile of dog excrement does not answer you, because that itself is not considered to be smelly enough to be disgusting. There's certain things you get used to in life, you know. But if you use it, as was the wont in those days, to use such things for various chemical processes, the smelliest of which was the preparation of skin. So in the tannery, the smell is absolutely overwhelming. So if you put now the Orot together with the Tzoat Klavim, Rishonim points in, it can't be referring back to Tzoat Adam because that's never used for tanning purposes. So that apparently stands on its own as being disgusting. But the idea of Tzoat Klavim, which we said earlier, is definitely Osir, this bright. It says, no, it's not Osir, it's Osir. Only when Natan Orot Tuchan. Why me name Rav Sheshes? Okay. We've discussed until now Reach Ra Sheyesh Lo Ikar. How about Reach Ra Shein Lo Ikar? How about where there is a smell, but the smell is not something that's exposed? And that might even be, we'll see later on, types of bathrooms that will remove the actual excrement from anywhere. In other words, it rolls down underneath the ground, but the whole area still smells. Or, for that matter, if you have people sleeping in a room and they're smelling up the room, as you know, sometimes you got to fly away about a half a mile. The shaila is it mutter to be saying kriya shma in that kind of room? So what would be the din? Amalahu, well, look, I hate to say it, but I mean, take a look at the base of Medrash. I mean, you have these guys putting out their sleeping bags there. Also, chazu hani tzipi de beirav, da'ani ganu, da'ani garsi. I mean, these guys are sleeping and not being too careful about what kind of smells they're letting out. And the other guys are sitting and learning. So apparently, a smell that doesn't have an ikar, that's exposed, it doesn't answer you. The truth is, though, that doesn't really prove the whole question, because Hanami Libi Divrei Torah. This is only coming in terms of learning. And the reason that they were matir, the Indian of smell per se, where you don't have something that is disgusting, is Dirabona. So Dirabona, we're not going to be metakein something that's going to prevent people from learning. I mean, that would mean the bottom line is, if there's one guy sleeping in the Beit HaMidrash, maybe everybody's going to leave the Beit HaMidrash and throw him out of the Beit HaMidrash. So that kind of thing we can't have. So we were matir continuing to learn Avol Kriyat Shema, lo. And the truth is, Divrei Torah, Nami lo Armanela v'chavre, we're going to go lenient on you in being in a room where other people are sleeping, but don't think that allows you to do whatever you want when you're sitting and learning. The day, lo, have a little bit of respect, please. Go out of the room. Itmar. Tzoa Overet. Now this is all where we're talking about being in a rishos. We understand that there's an issue not to be in the same place. This is my machane. Suppose something is passing through. Is it the presence per se, or is it the presence within your machane? So somebody walks through the room carrying the barrel that he was removing from the outhouse next door. He's going through that. He doesn't intend to stay in that room. So you can't really call the Tzoa in the room. But when is it Ad Kedei Kach that it's defined by a permanent placement? But what would be the din? Abai Omer Mutar Likrot Kriyat Shema, Rav Amar Asur Likrot Kriyat Shema. Says Abai, I'll prove to you that it's mutter, because we know when it comes to Tuma, now this is not a reference to Tumat Hamet, it's a reference to the din of Tzorat. In the din of Tzorat, the Torah says that Badav Yeshev Mechutz L'machaneh Moshavo. Moshavo means the place where he is, where he lives, so to speak, and temporarily, obviously, but he's got to leave his house and settle somewhere else, Moshavo. From there we learn, the Tzan, so now, if you are nichnas into the house of the person who is tameh, this is not similar to tumas ohalim by a mace. This is called tumat bia, because obviously tumas ohal makes no difference. The mace is passing by, you're passing by. It's just the momentary presence of the same area, which is under the same place, and an ohal mace. But when it comes to tumat nega over there, if the tameh who has the nega is standing still, and this becomes namakom moshavo. By the way, it doesn't mean necessarily to sit, because it says it twice. So we dash in moshavo is even if he's standing, as long as he's still, and this is his marker. So you are passing by, and you become tame. But on the other hand, if the person who has the nega is just passing by, and the tahor, the you, are standing under a tree, quietly, then the tuma that's passing by does not affect you. Because it's not in your machaneh, so to speak. It's just going through. So same thing over here. If it's a question, are you machanecha kadosh? So it's just passing through. Therefore, I say that there's no problem of reading Kriyat Shema. And this is true even with an Evan Amenugad, not only a human being, but also an Evan from a house that carries Nega, which we learn out has the same din as the human who has Nigei Haor. V'Rava, Rava says back to Abaya, I mean, what he would have answered, Amar Lecha, there's no comparison. Hatam b'kviyuta tal yom yulta. D'chtiv badad yeshev michutz ha'machane moshavo. But, so over there, what are we talking about? The Torah is stressing the kviut, the moshav. But over here, the Torah is simply saying, v'ayam ha'chanecha kadosh, from any untoward influences at all. And it's not. V'haleka, you don't have that. What's not going to know whether the thing is passing through or not? So how can you compare something whose criteria are totally different? Therefore, says Ron, see, what's not Kamina? Is your machane kadosh? It's not kadosh right now. Somebody's passing through with a barrel from the yard house. Omer Papa, pi chazir kitzoa over adami. You got a pig walking by, that's the same thing as having a pile of it. Pita is not obvious. Anybody seen a pig knows that's what's smeared all over the pig's nose. I mean, they love to wallow in it, right? So why would I think differently? No, the Zuchafa got to sleek him in a horror. The question over here is, we ain't talking about any pig, we're talking about Babe, who was just given over to a contest in the 4-H club. Blue. Who's got the most beautiful pig? You'd think a pig like that was just scrubbed and scrubbed and shining like a glistening pig. But that already is not Kitzoya Overas. Kamash Malan, any little piggy is a piggy.
That's some pig.
Piglets. Oh, come on, what a nasty thing to say.
No,
you have your kids even.
Piglet.
No, not
like
it's piglet. Piglet. That's right.
Exactly.
My goodness.
Piglet is an honorary human.
It's all over it, not
yeah, it's because the chazir is over it. It's not a din in the type of tzorah, it's a din in the fact that chazirim usually walk around and don't sit still. Omer of Yehuda, now you've ruined it for me now. I can never read Winnie the Pooh again. Omer of Yehuda. Listen, it's up on the web, let me tell you. My Winnie the Pooh story. It's a lot for short. Omer of Yehuda. Safik tzoa overed. Safik tzoa asura. Safik meraglayim mutarim. When it comes to question, I mean, you're not certain whether there's tzoa in a place or whether there's urine. So benogia tzoa, it's also benogia meraglayim, it's mutar. Ikari amre. Others say it depends where the suffix is. Rabbi Yehuda actually said suffix tzoa ba'bayit mutaret ba'ashpa asura. So in the bayit where normally it's cleaned up, they can rely that it's mutar. Where you're talking about an area which is set aside for such things, so then it's also. Whereas suffix meraglayim afilu ba'ashpa nami peturim. What's the reason? Because he holds several of the Rav Amnuna. The other Rav Amnuna points out that when it comes to urine, the Torah does not aser the material of the urine. It asers the urine as it's exiting from the body. So in other words, if someone is urinating in front of that, you're not supposed to say Kriyat Shema. But the fact that you have urine on the ground, or like in that passageway where you come to the Daf Yomi, which we won't talk about. So over there.
That's what struck me, by the way. Learned this Gemara as a child.
Yeah.
I've never been in a Mavimit.
It's unbelievable. In any event, I know the Shiloh, is this called the Beis Hakisei Kavua, or is it only...
During Kol HaMoed, people will knock on my door for the first day, the first Jewish residents on the way in.
Yeah.
And they'll knock on my door to ask to use that. By all means, please, because otherwise they come to
the door. It's okay. Kalman had better experiences than that. They were using the door.
I wish I'm laughing now.
It's not funny at the time, especially when you open the door.
Yeah.
So, according to Rav Amnuna, the point is that the Torah Midiraisa, you don't have a suffix over here because there's certainly no one present urinating. So, what's the shaila? Elamai, you have a suffix to Rabbana. So when it comes to the Rabbanan, we'll be Mekel. Ukar Rebbe Yonatan. What's his marker? It's a beautiful, beautiful marker. The marker is a diak in the pasuk, as Rebbe Yonatan points out. He says, well, clearly you have a contradiction in the Torah. Because you have, on the one hand, the Torah is makbid on Yod. Yod tiyelecha bichutz l'machaneh, v'yatzata shama chutz. So you're supposed to have a mokum, that's miyuchad, to go out to. If you need to go out, go out. And then it continues on and says, v'yatei tiyelecha ala zinecha. So in your backpack, in your army pack, you should have a shovel that's part of your supplies to every soldier. V'haya b'shivtecha chutz v'chafarta ba. Use the shovel to dig. V'chisita tzeitecha. Make sure that you cover that which came out of you. This is in the middle of a war effort, you understand. Okay, this is v'haya machanecha kadosh. So make up your mind. How come it didn't say for the yati yelach? How come it didn't say you're supposed to cover it? It just said you're supposed to go out there. And then it says again, another pasuk, oh, by the way, you should have a shovel, you should cover them. It should be put together. Ella, clearly there's two completely different dinim. Okay, it's at kambik gedolim, kambik tanim, so you're not mechuyev to cover excrement. You're mechuyev to cover. Almak tanim lo asrat torah, like an egad amud. Obviously, if the Torah would have held that there is, in fact, something disgusting about the presence of urine itself, it would have been mechayev you to cover it. Because lamaisa, even so, will dry out if it's exposed to the sun and so on. The Torah doesn't allow you to say that. Well, you know, it's biodegradable. No. You're mechayev to take care of it now, not take advantage of biodegradability. So that would be true about urine as well. Therefore, it must be that midiraisa is no iser, except for the fact that we don't want you urinating in the machaneh. So it must be there's something wrong with urinating, but nothing wrong with urine. So you see that the Torah was answering only at the moment of urination, keneged amud. That's something else. That's a special halacha in terms of the Azora. But enochinami, it's very interesting, you know, the Christian sensibilities has so much effect. I actually saw a Pirish that asks, one of the Pirishim on the Mishnah, that asks, Valome Agwaim Yofinla. I mean, certainly there's no Havamina that he could be using urine, you understand? So what does the Mishnah mean? I mean, it couldn't mean urine. And he apparently wasn't even aware that this was a prime source of ammonia and cleaning fluid and so on. I mean, you know, you didn't buy Windex, you bought Urinex. You know, so he gives. Imagine what a Mishnah appearance he gives. That Merag Lion is a particular spring that comes out that people used to stand with one foot on the other side, one foot on this, and that's Merag Lion. It's gotta be, because it couldn't be such a habit. You know? And so that's a particular halacha of the guy, but the Azorah, you know, if you name it, it's a Chiddush.
Does it make a difference if the ground is a.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that now. We'll see. Hanafula ara. Once the urine gets on the ground, it's mutter. So it's only the Rabbanan and the Gazrubu. Vichy Gazrubu. Rabbanan bevada'an. Rabbanan and the Gezer and the Vada'i. They were never Gezer and the Sofik. Ubevada'an at kama. How long does that urine remain now? A mokum that you're not allowed to say kriyat shema. Omer Rav Yonah Bishmur calls man shemat pichim as long as they are still damp. This place is damp. We'll see that there's some question as to what that means, because there's two famous shiurim in Tvicha, which we know from all over Shas. Something is damp, meaning it feels damp to the touch. And something is damp, meaning it has actual wetness in it, so that when you take your finger away, your finger will be wet. That's called Tofeach Amenat La Tvicha. It's sufficiently damp to make something else not wet, but damp to the touch. But this thing is more than simply damp to the touch. That we'll see on Amud Beis. We're going to get to how to understand the Hatfacha over here. Geniva mishmei de rabam, huh? Kol zman sherishuman nikar. Geniva says, well, no, it's more than that. But as long as you can tell that someone urinated here, there's a mark on the ground, that's considered to be also a usher. Rabbi Yosef said, there goes Gneva with his lies again. Shorale Morale Gneva, they didn't like Gneva very much because he was a Baal Machloikas. And they ended up actually getting him knocked off with a little bit of government interference and so on. But
we don't hear from him much in Shas, do we?
Well, we hear using him as an example. So anyway, may God forgive Gneva. There he goes again. There's no possible way that Rob could have said that. So he's obviously lying. I mean, we know that Rav was quoted by Rav Yudah, even if it comes to excrement, that kivan shekarmu paneah mutar, that if you have now the outer surface is dried, So it's like membranous at this point. So that's okay. So you when it comes to urine, which were much, much less mocked, but you can tell me, as long as I can tell Rishum HaNikar, I mean, you can tell excrement is Rishum HaNikar for years. But nonetheless, it's being moderate, even though inside it's still wet and damp. So that's crazy. Amalei Bais says, wait, let's not jump to conclusions over here. I mean, you're right. If this would be the only report that we had of Rav Shita, you could come to the conclusion that God should only forgive Gneva for his stuff. But over here, actually, there's another report. And my chazita de samachta ha-smokaha, why are you relying that that's what Rav said? There was another quote of Rav by Rabba Baravuna, who said that Rav said the opposite. That soa afilu kecheres asura, that even if the soa is dried to the point of being like clay, it's still considered to be usur. What is that shir? Echidami soa kecheres. Omar Rabba Barbachana Rabbi Yochanan calls manches zorka veinani frechet. Kecheres is the pshat that it's dry, but if you throw it against something, it doesn't fall apart. Vikidi amre?
Huh? It's something out of Nebraska.
Yeah, well, you got to deal with everything. There's no, you know, it's a good thing that Forrest Gump made it clear to us, and there's no way to avoid it. The Ikari Amri calls the man should go lala veinani frechet, that this already is much more chomor. In other words, as long as you can roll it and it won't fall apart, huh? So that's also considered to be a if you're talking about the shear of tsoa. So it's one thing to say if you throw it against something, another thing to say that even though if you would have thrown it, it would have been nifrechet. If you'd thrown it, it would have been nifrechet. But that's not the proof.
So this is question.
This is more, because over here, according to the first line of Yomar, if it's nifrechet when it's thrown against something, it's no longer tsoa. Okay, but this man Yomar is saying, no, if it's nefreches when it's thrown, that doesn't prove that it's not so. It had to be so dried out that it would be nefreches even to the touch, even that you're just rolling it. So this is much more chomer.
What happens if it's petrified?
That should be fine. Omer Ravina. I mean, otherwise, what would we do with all that dinosaur stuff? Omer Ravina, Avakimna Kameda Rav Yudami Difte. So I was standing there by front of Rav Yudami Difte, and he noticed that there was some tsoa on Marley, so he said, go over and check it out. Ayin, why don't you take a look at that and see Ikormu Panea Ilo, see whether it's dried out on the surface so that we can keep talking. Ikiniam Yokro Marley. Another verse, and according to that, that would be the first, the first shot of Rav, but it's enough if it's Karmu Panea. They say that what he said was Ayeni Nifla Yafluye. See whether it's cracked already, which means that it's really dried out. My Havi Allah, what's the bottom line on this issue? Itmar Tsoa Kecheres, Amemar Amar Asura, Marzutra Amar Muteret. And Rava says Hilchata Tsoa Kecheres Asura, whereas Merak Laim is only Koz Manshe Matbichin. Really? Says in the Brisa, not like that. Mezav Merag Laim Kol Zman Shemat Bichin Asurin Nivlu O Yavshu Mutarin. Now, explain to me what Nivlu means. I mean, in the context of Yavshu, so Nivlu L'chore is similar to Yavshu. I mean, just like Yavshu means that they're completely dried out, which means that there's nothing left, not even a stain. So Nivlu would mean as long as they're absorbed into the ground. It's not enough. It has to be absorbed to the point of Ein Shunam Nikar. But if you could see still a stain, even though it's not wet, that would be considered to be Asur. And you said the it has to be Matzpiach, it has to be wet. Here is Matzpiach, Shein Matzpichit. Says, come on, what kind of diak is that? So if you're going to be Madaiach from this, Ein Reisha, the Reisha says, Kozman Shematzpichit. That it's only Asur, Kozman Shematzpichit, not Asur. Mashmer Rishumam Nikar is Mutter. So clearly the Bryce is not coming to discuss the Niblo in the context of Yavshu. So from here you can't prove anything. Maybe it's really Machlokes Tanoim, this issue. That would explain why we have this vague approach of the Bryce over here. Kli Shadishpachu Mimenu Meiraglayim Asur Likrot Kriyat Shema Kenegdo. If you have a chamber pot that contained Meraglayim, even if you poured out the Meraglayim, you can't be Kari Kriyat Shema Keneged, the chamber pot. Meraglayim Atzmam Shenishpachu, the actual urine that was spilled, the place where it landed, Nivlauv, was absorbed into the ground as Mutter, Lo Nivnu Asur, was Rabbi Yossi says, no, Kozman Shibat Bichin. Now let's try to understand what that means. When he says Nivlu, we say Nivlu or Lo Nivlu, my Nivlu Velo Nivlu Dokama Tanakama. I mean, if what Nivlu means, that it was just Nivlu to the point where it's not wet, I can still see it. And Lo Nivlu means it's still wet. So comes along Rabbi Yossi to say, no, it has to be wet. But if it's Rishum and Nikar, then it's mutter. That's exactly what I just said, didn't I? I just said that. What are you telling me? You argue. You're repeating what I said. So clearly the Tanakhama was referring to something else. Ela nivlu must mean the in rishuman nikar. Lo nivlu is rishuman nikar. So the Tanakhama holds, okay, even if it's dry, it's not matpiach, there's still a stain here, that's already yosi. Comes on to be yosi? No. Because manshimat pichimu does. It's only if it's actually damp. But Rishuman Nikar would be mutter. So, okay, so here we go. We've got a machlokas tanoim, Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, as to whether Rishuman Nikar is the Yisr, or the Matbichin is the Yisr. It says anymore, not necessarily, because I could explain the machlokas being something else. It may be that the Kuleyama goes Mancha Matbichimu the Yisr. Everybody agrees there needs to be damp associated with it, and Rishuman Nikar alone, where there's no dampness, is mutter. The machlokus over here of Kol Zman Shemat Bichin is that Rabbi Yossi is saying that as long as it's matpiach, whereas Tanakhama is saying tofeach amanas latpiach. So that means that if it's not tofeach amanas latpiach, in other words, it's not damp enough to touch it, that you should become wet from it. Not wet, but damp, that your finger should become damp. So that's considered to be damp. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, on the contrary, if it's dampish, so it's about to be, even though it won't make you damn, that's already considered to be still there. Yorad Litvol, now the next piece in the Mishnah talks about a guy who went down to be Tevel. He doesn't have time to get to Kriyat Shema before Netzach Hamah. He should daven in, or say Kriyat Shema, depending on which sheet we hold, in the mikveh, so that he's covered with the water, and he's saying Shema. Now, understand, what's the big rush? Why does he have to get out of the mikveh now? I mean, this would be true according to that second Lashon Reb Eliezer, who said that the Zman of Kriyat Shema is only till Netzach Hamah. So apparently he's going to miss Zman Kriyat Shema. But, I mean, if you hold it, you have to go till 3 hours in the day. I mean, what's your rush? Get out of the mikveh, dry off, go to the nearest shul. What's the crazy way to say Kriyat Shema? No, it's not crazy. Because a few tamer of Yeshua, maybe it's going like the sheet of the Vatikin, Rabbi. That's not lechat chila. You can read Kriyat Shema up until that time. The Vatikin say you have to go mimotai manetach hamah. So this guy essentially is interested in being going with Kriyat Shema. Now, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, this implies that he's being driven by the rationale of the Vatikin, which is that you have to be mitzvah gula latvila, which implies he's going to say the whole davening in the mikveh. Which leads to the without conclusion tefillin. That it's better to daven, but clearly without tefillin, that was the agreement, but here the shaila is better to daven without the minyan and so on, and not being in the best of all possible hikons, but nonetheless to daven in order to be mekayim the vatikin. Although again, many shitas in the Mishnah Berurah holds this, is that all of these special heterim for Vatikin is where that is the way that you always do things, not you got a juke in your head today, you know what, once I'm already in a mikvah, I might as well go all the way, you know, let me become really Vatikin. That doesn't help. Now if not, you can simply, don't even have time, you can simply cover yourself up with the water that you're in and read Kriyat Shema. How can you read Kriyat Shema if your heart is going to be in the same place where your genitals are? And, I mean, assuming that, water is usually transparent. Now, what's interesting here, and this is a fascinating question, because it leads to many, many, many nafkaminas la'alocha, particularly bizman, that people are not knowing very much in Tzniut, and we had a whole list of things that you're not supposed to say kiddush in front of, but a brachas in front of. How about if you're not looking? Because I'm saying kiddush, I'm looking at the flowers, and I'm looking at the kiddush cup in my hand. It happens to be there's a woman who's uncovered, but I'm not looking at her, right? So here the shaila is like this, and Shonen points out, wait a second, if the Gemara's Havamina was that libo can be roes erva, that means can be, not that it's mutter to, but that it's possible to be roes erva in this case, it means the Gemara holds up until this point clearly that the water is transparent. That's going to be the Gemara's theory. It's talking about the mother's not, the water's not transparent. I said, what about your eyes? Isn't the water transparent to your eyes?
Not the problem.
Apparently that's not the problem, which makes no sense, because later on we're going to see that erva covered with glass is still considered to be erva. And it's not considered to be mechusa. Therefore, some say indeed it's talking about, okay, you close your eyes. But it doesn't say anything about closing your eyes. We don't have the ikar chaser and a sefer. What's the chat? And anyway, last time I heard, your heart's eyes were closed too. Nonetheless, it answers it over there, right? So it's a Libo Roes Erva. Certainly doesn't mind that the heart's retina is picking up images. So in other words, it means the sense that the images are transferable. What's going to have to cover your eyes then? So therefore, the kind of thing is like this. Although you can be Roe, the fact that your head is outside of the water, the rest of your body is in the water, means that your eyes are not looking at your body. Your eyes are somewhere else. I mean, what's a... And therefore, unless you're Badafka looking at nakedness, there's no problem of Erva, which is Mashmanish can look away, so look to the side. It doesn't say anywhere that you have to turn your neck around the other way like an owl. So apparently, as long as you're not concentrating on seeing something, and this is shown normally, in water, the light reflects off of the water. You don't look through the water. So since the light reflects off the water, you're looking somewhere else. Mashmanish, that would be sufficient. A big thing that's very, very nogeh l'halacha. If you're traveling naked?
Drowning naked, you want to say...
No.
Then your whole body...
Because then your eyes are in the same place. They're the same thing as libo roes erva. Right. Even if it's the last thing you say, it's the last kriya shma and you're drowning, you shouldn't say it. Richie will show us an actual picture of such an event. Richie?
Oh. We have to count how
many
times
it shines. All the way down, they said,
wow. But they were elegantly dressed. I mean, there was no problem there. Everybody was down in their tuxes and ties, I assume.
They have women having themselves like this. When
yeah, we're going to talk about the issue of the chasa ceremony. Yeah. Okay. So ask tomorrow, what are you going to do? Oh, must be that Omer Belazar, some say it's Ravacha Baraba Baraka, Mishum Rabbeinu, it's talking about over here, our mission is not talking about clear water. It's talking about Mayim Achurim. It's talking about that it's dirty water. Dirty, the dirty water is the dumb, it's a good thing it's Purim and good day for cynics here. The dumb Ka'ara Samichta. That's basically like mud, you know? So, for all intents and purposes, you're covering yourself. And therefore, if you have clear water, others say, make the water dirty by rubbing your feet in the mud under it, and that gets the water to be dirty. And maybe there won't be any problem of libo roes erva.
That's in the ritual of the Ari.
That's right. Now, by that time, you've already frozen to death. Bahari. Bahari libo roes erva. Why, according to Tanakama, who says you don't even have to make the water dirty. What about libo roes erva? Again, we see there's no problem of your eyes, right? But the lay that's in the same area is called roes erva. Obviously, the Tanakama holds that libo roes erva mutar. Oh, I mean, well, what about the rest of your body? I mean, you know, akevo roes erva, right? Because of akevo roes erva mutar. It's more akevo roes erva mutar, but what about nogeya? How about if some of your body is touching the Mokam Erva? Is that considered to be mutar? So Abai Omar Asur, Rava Omar Mutar. Rav Zvid says it over. Masel Ashmai Tzahachi. Rav Chinen Abereidi Rav Yika Masel Ashmai. That was Rav Zvid's approach. But Rav Chinen Abereidi Rav Yika said over like this. Actually, everybody was agreed that when it comes to Nogea, Divrei HaKol Asur. Because some say that the Asur, Tosfos says over here that it's a Gezerah. A Gezerah that maybe will be Nogea B'Yadayim. Nogea B'Yadayim, Yadayim would definitely mark it on as touching a Mokka Mechusa and so on. So if you get used to the idea of, well, all you need is to be covered, you know, next thing you know, you end up scratching yourself and saying, Kriyat Shema, that's all we need. So Mamela, we answered any type of Negiya. That's one approach to the Sugya. That's not really a din that is Nogeya, the Vahoya Machanecha Kadosh, in terms of the whole question we've had until now. Rava Amar Mutar, Rava says, look, enough is enough over here. Rava, Abay Amar Asur, Rava Amar Mutar. Because enough is enough. Lonit Natura La Malachi Asharet. Look, if we were Malachim, we wouldn't have an Erevah. And so we wouldn't have any problems. That's what Rashi says. But since we have one, you gotta learn to live with it. And that's the way it goes, you know? So in the Mela, the Torah was given to human beings. Halacha being, Nogea Asur, Ro'eh Mutar. Omar Rava, Rava points out that the two halachas of Ahoyu Machanecha Kadosh versus the din of Lo'eh Ra'ebacha Ervadavar actually imply very different things. So if you would have now a clear, transparent glass bottle that is full of what you're about to send into the lab for a test, that would be perfectly okay to read Kriyat Shema Kenegda, because it's not in your machana in the sense of the Torah making very clear, v'chisita. What makes it not in your machana? V'chisita tzayatecha. Cover up what came out of you. I covered it. Here it is. Put the top on, and now I put on the label. No? So was I Mekayim v'chisita? Yeah. But if that was over there, it would be okay. But suppose you have genitals in a bottle now. That would be a little bit difficult if you're still reading Kriyat Shema, unless this was somebody you didn't like very much. But, I mean, there are tribes that do this kind of stuff, you know. But what we really mean over here, obviously, is a glass door or something. So you have somebody who is naked on the other side of the door.
Shower.
So you say, or a shower. So you'll say that so same thing, right? No. Because over there, the Torah makes it dependent in lo yera'eh, and transparent glass allows you to see. So therefore, erva ba'ashashit, asur likrot kriyat shema kinegda. So tzo'ah ba'ashashit, mutar likrot kriyat shema kinegda. Why? The tzo'ah b'kisui talya milta, the Torah wanted you to cover it. So you did, v'amichsiya. You know, the beauty of the Gemara's abstraction of ideas is so beautiful. Because I mean, we understand that the reader of a Gemara knows that what we're talking about is an idea. That, in other words, if you want to talk about test tubes, this is exactly what this is. An erva in a test tube. How do you get an erva? I mean, that's what it's saying. How do you get an erva in a test tube? Obviously, we mean not in vitro. We mean the in situ. So I'm going to explain it. So there's this, a thing, I got to spell that out to you. We're talking to 2-year-olds over here. All the cases in the Gemara are in a test tube, so to speak, because we're always abstracting the idea. I mean, here, the first place where it literally talks about a test tube. Put an Arab in a test tube. Obviously, that's not what we mean, right? Because over there, it's also the Kriyat Shema, since the Torah says, V'lo yera ebecha ervat dava. So it's the possibility of seeing Amar Rachmana. Since this is glass, it's transparent. And therefore, in terms of the dinim of erva, it's transparent. Amar Abaye. Tzoah kolshu, if there's a tiny bit of excrement, and you don't want to move away from where you are, you can just spit all over it, and you can be mevatelet brok. Amar Rava, yeah, but we're talking about thick rok over here. We're not talking about just, some light saliva here. Amar Rava, tzoah beguma. If you have, there's a hole in the crack in the ground in which there's tzoah in the crack. You can cover it with your foot. With your sandal, obviously, not your naked foot.
As long as you're not touching it,
right? Yeah, well, we'll see. Gemara's going to ask about that. Meniach sandalo alav. Put your foot over the crack. V'korei kriyat shema. Boy, mar bered ravina. How about if the tzoah got stuck to your shoe? So there the shaila is. Is that considered to be now, not that you're covering it, but that it's dirtying you? mean, it's all a matter of perspective, you know. Well, what do you mean? That's I'm covering it. No, you ain't covering it, man. You got all over your soul. How to look at it, right?
Somebody, you walk too short and you stand.
Exactly.
The dog's thing.
Over, no, in a crack.
No, he's saying if on the way to shore.
So that Enokinami, my teiku. Enokinami.
What are you
doing? We'll talk about it. We have to be machmana. Omer Yehuda, Akum Asur, if you Akum Arom, if you have a naked non-Jew, still it's usher to be kara kriyat shavat kinegdo. Excuse me? My area, what do you mean a non-Jew? Even if it's Jewish, I mean, look, a Jewish Erebah is much nicer than an Akum Erebah. I mean, it's Bris Mila and everything. I mean, so we just were learning that a Jewish Erebah, you're not allowed to say kriyat shavat. Kol shekein, an Arab. No, just the opposite. Akum is trichale. Come on. How about a naked animal? Is it also to read in front of a naked animal? I mean, the next thing you know, they'll be having these movements to cover animals. What was it called?
The
Great American Oaks. The Great American Oaks, yeah. Fantastic. If you never read it, read it. But make sure that you take deep breaths before, because you're liable to die laughing. And just somebody created a movement, because the Great American Oaks created a movement in which people were outraged by the fact that animals were allowed to go naked. It's like the ultimate, you know, sensitivity thing. And rented a broom closet on Fifth Avenue, so we'd have a Fifth Avenue address. We're very clutch of a place. Put up a picture of a horse that was wearing a coat. And so you could see it if you look through the broom the keyhole of the broom closet. Put a fancy thing on the door. Nobody was ever there. And he put in a telephone line with an answering machine to answer calls with the message of the day for how to be mischazik in our drive to clothe all naked animals. I forgot what the name of the thing was. It was the Society for Nakedness of Animals, which was meant to be that the person should be able to even figure out that the name didn't even make sense, right? And what happened was that AT&T shut down the line because they had more business on that line, and they were only paying a normal business rate than the entire rest of Fifth Avenue. Right? So they had they raised millions of dollars, which was became a whole big issue because they weren't really incorporated. But this thing really works over all the newspapers. Right? People took it seriously. So next thing you know, okay, so what's the problem? So you have an Arab. I mean, it's an Akamina, you have a donkey, you have an Arab, it's the same thing. You might have thought. Why? Because it says, Asher Psar Chamorim B'Sarah. The Torah compares the Basar, and the flesh, we know Bris Basar, is a reference specifically to the most basari part, which is Bris Basar. So B'Sar Chamorim B'Sarah, their Basar is Chamorim. You might think that it's considered to be like a Chamor B'Yomah. That we don't have any hakpada on the erev of an akum. Kamash melandi inu nami ikru erev. The chiddush over here is that the Torah considers the erev of a non-Jew to be a significant erev. Dichtiv ervat avihem lo rau. So it calls the erev of Noach erev, which is a raya that there is erev by akum. Now the Mishnah says something which is absolutely crazy. You shouldn't go into a pond where the water is dirty, or where they used it for reducing flax, until you pour water into it. Well, that's really nice. Pour water into it. So, that's interesting. The Kama Maya Rami Vaza, are we talking about dragging an iceberg maybe and letting it melt in the pond? Exactly how much water do you intend to pour into this pond to make the water clean? Elohi Kama. There's obviously something missing in this Mishnah because it's absurd. It should be read like this. Lo yitkaseh lo b'mayim ha-ra'im v'lo b'mayim ha-mishra klal. There's nothing to do about that. If the water stinks, it stinks. But how about if you are in the presence of Merag Laim? Achi yatil letochan mayim v'ikra. You could put water into urine, and that would be mevatel the gezera on the urine itself. So now, what's the shear? That's what we're asking. Obviously, be a shear. Ten rabbanim. The kama yati letochan mayim koshu. The point is that you've put in some other liquid, so you're no longer in the presence of pure urine. Rabbi Zakkai, no, it has to be a significant amount of liquid. You pour in a revius. Omer of Nachum Machlokis Lebesof. This is only if you have now a chamber pot of urine. So you're going to add something to it to be mevatel it. It has to be revius. But if you have a toilet bowl, which has water in it, then it makes no difference how much water is in it. Because everything that goes in is never really considered to be urine, because now it's basically in water, it's mixed with water. So, and indeed, over there, machlokas, becoming it's a kosher, exactly revius, or machlokas was sof, but chilas kosher. Rabbi Yosef says, on the contrary, the machlokas is lechat chila. Besof, divya kol, it's a revius. And Amalei Rabbi Yosef, l'shame, l'maisa Rabbi Yosef would tell his personal valet, I say li reviyata damaya, bring me a reviyat, he would always say, and that would be in order to be Yotzei Reb Zarkai. So in other words, in his chamber pot, in his toilet bowl, l'chatchila, he was makbe that there should be a reviyat, which of course we have in a normal toilet. Tchila. And that way it would be Yotzei for sure, even according to his lashon, which the way Reb Zarkai learns. This again is very nagei l'halacha. Do our toilets, do they have a din of Derev Shari?
Uh-oh.
Are they part of your? Tell me, your toilet's broken.
No,
No.
But that's extra when I bought it.
Oh,
that, you know, now
No. That toilet is a completely different issue. That's a completely different issue because that toilet, first of all, doesn't have any reach by definition. Secondly, it has a spring where the moment you get off of the toilet, anything that's in the toilet is covered. Right.
The one there.
The new one. A finished toilet. What are we talking about? The ridiculous stuff they use here?
I was talking about that.
That one comes with the Madah. I thought that's why Mika bought that. It's got the it's not the Stam Badat, it's the green Badat, which is Miyuchat for Purim. That's exactly what it does.
It has a fan that drives it out.
It's not connected to the plumbing.
It's
unbelievable. No, it's not a chemical.
It's like a feces microwave.
Absolutely amazing thing.
Feces degrader?
Yes. No, absolutely amazing. You can use this toilet for 3-4 weeks. And then and at the end of 3-4 weeks, you open it up. You have what appears to be a pile of sand. And you throw the sand out.
It's a litter box.
No plumbing. Except that it works. Works with a fan and a heating unit. It dries out the feces.
Amazing.
And absolutely, completely odorless. It's an amazing thing.
As long as the fan's working.
As long as the fan's working.
You don't have a problem with the plumbing, you have a problem with the electricity.
With electricity. But the good ones are solar powered. That is only a problem with
and
the
there's
sun.
No, there's no issue. There's no Shabbat issue with this sort of thing.
No,
no,
no, it runs the entire time.
Yeah,
and
it has nothing to do with.
Why can't the
down
vibration down actually power itself? You know,
that's it could. That maybe that the more the more advanced model. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't laugh. It's an amazing thing because it. No, no, the sense that human beings can create a matzah in which the getter of Tyre is such that they push it, don't cause lichlok. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you push it and go to the bathroom, l'shem shamayim over there. Come on, Richard. Sounds silly, but isn't there you like the outhouse. You like the outhouse. I forgot about that. I'm saying, but I'm using this particular toilet, l'shem shamayim. A tremendous sense of shleimus ha'adam. There really is. It's not there. Listen, you're laughing because of your past work. You don't like the idea of being put on
the
ground. That's right. It's like the homes that have the built-in vacuum system in the wall. You have to find one that works.
Central vac.
Central vac, yeah.
That's going to be that.
You know, in the new, what do they call that thing? That new Gan Eden development near Beit Shemesh,
Eden Hills.
So the big come on to Eden Hills is that there's no garbage in Eden Hills. What do? You take your garbage, you put it into a pneumatic tube, and it's brought to a central a central location where all the Americans are going wild over this. They don't have a clue that it's going to work for 36 hours maximum. And then for the rest of the year, they're going to be paying 500 shekel a month apiece to try to fix it. You know, they think that this, they have this image of, wow.
This really, out of it, but I mean, George Yalta told me that in the green area of Yavne, we'll all have the pneumatic tubes.
Okay, that's great. Anyway, it's a beautiful dream.
If you got that, how can you separate your garbage then? I mean, don't you have to be ecologically...
Probably certain hours are for... You're right. That's a very good
point. And it's a roof on the way. Probably for someone who takes out the garbage.
What do you mean, why?
Someone takes up the garbage, you're able to, where are they able to live there?
There'll be nowhere to go.
What do you mean, the...
Take my garbage and take it out.
You mean like Novi Rakhonin, where they wanted Scholl's family because he took away their job.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay, says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Gerev Shorei, V'Avit Shomer Aglai, and there's not really a difference between a Gerev and an Avit, other than what they're used for in the requisite shapes. But the idea is a chamber pot, essentially. Gerev is used for Gedolim, Avit is used for Ketanim. Even though they're empty, because of the fact that they're used all the time and are made out of cheres and are absorptive, you cannot view them as being something that's clean just because they don't have anything in them. And here again, this would be nogea our toilets, which are porcelain, which you would think would be a gerev shori, which causes all kinds of problems. In terms of, normally, our bathrooms don't, in terms of the tub and all of that, don't have a din of a bathroom. Because of the fact that since they're cleaned right away, and there's no sustained odor in it, there's no problem of it being a mokum metunaf at all. But if the toilet has a din of a gerev shorei, then there is a problem. Here the question is whether the permanent water that's in the toilet and the immediate flushing takes away the din of gerev shorei, because it's not meant to be something that contains a reach over long term.
I had a friend in college who found somebody throwing away a toilet and took it to use it as a flower pot.
Yeah, it's very common, actually.
Yeah, but apparently that was an unacceptable thing to do.
The flowers didn't like it.
No, well, the flowers didn't, but no, but his
his roommate.
The time suggested that it might be a problem.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of discussion
even
about
it. It wasn't being used anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
What about these new waterless urinals?
Yes, that's a problem. Yeah, it's not only a problem, they obviously stopped using them in the new airport, if you noticed.
Oh, how come?
Because they didn't work. They smell terrible.
Because they're all over the place.
It was extremely... Well, here, they don't work.
I know what they are.
I don't know what
those are. Tanu Rabbanan. Gerev shorei v'abit shomer aglayim asur likrot kriyat shma k'negdan af api she'ein b'hem klum, even though they're empty. U'mer aglayim atzman... As we saw before, even if you have meraglayim not in a gerev, so I'm going to be mavat to this particular meraglayim. Kama yatila tochan mayim koshu, Rabbi Zakkai omer revi'it. You need to put a revi'it in it, and this is whether bein lifnei amida, doesn't matter whether it's in front of the bed. In other words, you're in your bedroom. You want to read Kriyat Shema. You have urine inside of a chamber pot. I mean, not inside of a container, not a chamber pot. You want to be mevatel the urine. Now the question is, okay, are you on the side of the bed with the urine? Is the urine on the other side? Doesn't matter. You've got to be mevatel it because the hefsik of the mita is not considered to have put it in a different area. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, liachar hamita korei, lifnei hamita ino korei. If it's in front, if it's behind the bed, then the bed is mafsik. If it's in front of the bed, you have to be marchik, and the shir of archok is arba amot, and then you can read. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, I don't care, afilu bayit me'ama lo yikra. It's in the wrong place. It's in your room. This is your machana. You can't read there. Achiyotziyem, oh, shenichem tachat amita. Now, you could put it under the bed. Because you put it under the bed, and the bed is not high. If the bed is high, so then it's not covering it, because then the bed is a different rishos. But if the bed is low, in other words, between shlosha tvachim, as such as the ground, or ten tvachim, so then it's considered to be a kisui, that would be also all right.
If it's less than three tvachim.
Yeah, we're going to get into the shilas as we go of the shlosha tvachim, And I think what we're going to do is do it on Mitzvah Shabbos. It's, we've been running for quite some time here. What time shall we meet? Mercifully. No, please, enough. I already... I already gave him the money. What time shall we have Mitzvah Shabbat?
8:30.
There's nothing particular that needs to be done. Well, 8 was a little tight.
But it was tight.
Is 8:30 okay? We will eventually when the sun does its thing, you know.
We learn on Shabbos.
It's a problem because we like to tape, so we haven't figured out how to do that yet.